liberty and the public interest of posting on our screen causes this hearing to be convened and this court. The record should reflect that the applicant, Freda Baca, Colfax County Clerk, is personally present with her attorney, Robin Blair. The petitioner, Citizens of Raton, may announce through an individual that they wish to have their appearance noted, as may the petitioner concern citizens for this hearing, and then I will have some other preliminary remarks. Now, let me say, first of all, that this is not an adversarial hearing. That means parties don't get to argue back and forth, refereed by this court. The court does not entertain any argument in a hearing of this nature. It has been called by precedential law rendered by the Supreme Court of New Mexico and the Court of Appeals that we are duty-bound to follow a probable cause hearing. The court will entertain no further exhibits, but will simply make inquiry again. Does the petitioner, Citizens of Raton, wish to have an appearance through an individual noted on the record of this hearing? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Your Honor. I've been elected to represent the citizens of Raton.
What is your name?
Marcia Rubio.
You may have a seat up here at the other table if you wish. The petitioner concerned citizens, do they wish to appear through an individual? All right, as a matter of preliminary law, I will find that both petitioners have legal standing. And that simply means that if any member of the petitioner would have the group, Citizens of Raton, would have standing to appear, then the petitioner may appear through you. Likewise, even though concerned citizens do not wish to have an appearance noted for the record, the court will find that they have standing as well to proceed up to this point. Mr. Blair, I have reviewed the application, the amended application, the exhibits, and I would wish to know if you stand on your application or if there are any other statutory matters I need to be apprised of.
May it please the court. Your Honor, I appear on behalf of County Clerk Freda Baca, and there are some statutory matters that I would like to bring the court's attention to. Under 22-7-9A3, the statute refers to the clerk's duty to provide notice. I happened to speak to Mr. Theodore Camp prior to this hearing and was told that neither he nor the member, Kathy Honeyfield, had received any written notice concerning this proceeding. I confirmed with my client that no such notice was provided, it being the clerk's understanding that the notice referred to in 22-7-9A3 is a notice subsequent to the issuance of the petition, should the court make a determination that sufficient facts exist at this hearing. I have read that statute. I cannot determine whether the intent is to give notice prior to this hearing or subsequent to this hearing, but that is a statutory issue that I would like the like to bring the court's attention to. Next, 22-7-9.1A, application be filed within 5 days. I know we had some issues in attempting to e-file the original petition. I do not think we filed within 5 days of receipt of that petition. Next, 22-7-9.1B, hearing to be held within 10 days. Well, a hearing was promptly requested, but the court has other matters that it must attend to, and July 1st was the earliest opportunity this matter might be heard, which is more than 10 days suggested by the statute. And finally, 22-7-9.1C references the affidavits of petitioners upon review of the completed face sheet together with affidavits submitted by the petitioner setting forth specific facts in support of the charges specified on the face sheet. The district court shall make a determination. Your Honor, I've inquired and the clerk has received no affidavits from either petitioner in this matter. And I think that concludes the statutory issues I wish to bring to the court's attention.
Do you believe, on behalf of the applicant, that any of those statutory issues you've raised divest this court of jurisdiction to conduct a hearing under 9.1?
If any issue would affect jurisdiction, it would be notice, which goes to the heart of due process. And that statute about notice to the members is ambiguous. I cannot say whether it is a jurisdictional defect or not, Your Honor.
If it were brought to me in an adversarial setting, I would believe and express my decree that Ms. Honeyfield and Mr. Camp might be entitled to have notice to appear and listen to the proceedings, but they do not have standing to appear and present any statements, arguments, exhibits, or any matters to the court in this hearing. It is a formal review of the petition face sheet and any submissions that accompanied those petition forms to the county clerk's office when filed.
Having made that determination, I would say none of the other issues are jurisdictional.
All right.
Or maybe better said, none of the issues are jurisdictional.
The timeliness issue was actually raised in one of the seminal cases on this point, and was found to give way essentially to the reality of docket life in a district court. Given the nature of this hearing, I can speak on that in more detail in a moment. Anything else?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Now, this is what this is why I wanted Section 29.7-9.1 of the New Mexico statutes annotated to be displayed to everyone, because the reason for this hearing is expressed in subsection C. Upon review of the completed face sheet together with affidavits submitted by the petitioner setting forth specific facts in support of the charges specified on the face sheet, the district court shall make a determination whether sufficient facts exist to allow petitioners to continue with the recall process. I want to explain to you what, in my humble opinion, that means. The judiciary, for 230-plus years, has been the only branch of government that conducts all of its business in public. And that means that I, sitting as a district court judge, review these materials and explain in open court on the record what decision I make and why. And that is different, in my opinion, from my simply reviewing this file back here in my chambers and then issuing an order that concludes the matter one way or another. So I will begin my analysis of this, and I have attempted to go to some great length because this is an important issue for this community. It's an important issue for jurisprudence, and there is, surprisingly, a lot of law on these points. In fact, there is a case called Cordova versus Klein from Taos County that is presently pending certiorari review in the Supreme Court of this state on this very point, on one of these very points. Article 12, Section 14 of the New Mexico Constitution establishes a constitutional authority for recalling elected school board members, and specifically says that recall must be for cause, not at will. And that is an important distinction because it defines due process. And due process is guaranteed to every American citizen in the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, as most of us are aware, and in Article 2, Section 18 of the New Mexico Constitution, where due process is equated with equal protection of the law. I will also say that according to New Mexico state law, any qualified elector who resides within the district who does not have a felony conviction may otherwise be qualified to run for and be elected to the school board. Principles of fundamental fairness are expressed by the Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court of this state whenever that electoral franchise is sought to be voided by a recall process. Due process has two principal components, which we define as notice and an opportunity to be heard. Notice generally has been held by the courts of this state that we are duty-bound to follow under the principle of stare decisis. Notice contemplates an appropriate and reasonable specification of charges that any claims or charges made in any setting, judicial or quasi-judicial, as Cordova versus Klein discusses, may not be so vague as to require reasonable persons to guess at the meaning of those charges or claims. Due process requires that the notice not be overbroad. Due process requires that the claims not be a general condemnation. How does that relate to an opportunity to be heard? An opportunity to be heard means that the accused has a right to fully present his or her side of the dispute. In order to do that, the accused has a constitutional right to be precisely informed of the claims and charges against him or her, presenting a meaningful chance to formulate and present a defense or a response. I used the word earlier, stare decisis. That simply means let the decision stand. It means precedent. We have to follow precedential law established by the higher courts. And there's a case that will sound quite familiar, decided by the Supreme Court of New Mexico in 1992. For the record, it is found at 1992 NMSC 35, volume 113 of the New Mexico Reports, at page 729. It was filed on May 28, 1992. Here's the name of the case. In the matter of petition for hearing on recall of school board members, Capps and Connie Sharp, petitioners appellants, versus board members Ruben B. Alvarado, Jeanette H. Dickerson, Patsy A. Duran, and Jose V. Fritzen, respondents appellees. The Supreme Court wrote that the petitioners submit that the recall provisions exist not simply to remove office holders who have violated the law or committed an illegal act, but instead to exercise control over elected officials who have committed an act which is arbitrary, capricious, and an abuse of discretion. Such a standard provides a lower threshold to allow a recall to proceed than does a standard requiring the showing of an improper or corrupt motive. The Supreme Court concluded by saying, we find this view of the recall provisions dangerously close to allowing recall at will rather than the constitutionally mandated standard of recall for cause. Generally, cause has been held to be misfeasance, malfeasance in office, or violation of oath. Misfeasance was defined by the Supreme Court in that case, sometimes loosely applied in the sense of malfeasance. Appropriately used, misfeasance has reference to the performance by an officer in his official capacity of a legal act in an improper or illegal manner, while malfeasance is the doing of an official act in an unlawful manner. Misfeasance is literally a misdeed or a trespass, while nonfeasance has reference to the neglect or refusal without sufficient excuse to do that which was an officer's legal duty to do. In the Capps case, the Supreme Court wrapped up their decision saying this, "We find nothing in the record indicating that any of the challenged board members acted out of an improper or corrupt motive. We agree with the district court that the petitions do not state sufficient facts to allow Capps to continue with the recall process." Now, how do the principles of due process and the ruling of the Supreme Court in the Capps case translate to our instant case at hand? Section 2276D5 lists that what must be contained in the body of the petition. The petition shall contain a list of the, and I highlight this, specific charges constituting malfeasance, misfeasance, or a violation of the oath of office. 2278 indicates the responsibilities that are incumbent upon a petitioner, and those are to list the specific charges constituting malfeasance, misfeasance, or a violation of the oath of office. Against that background, the court has to review the specification of charges that are contained in each of these petitions. And the court does acknowledge that there are two different specifications or listings of charges. The court rules and decrees under the principles of due process and the constitutional provisions that these petitions do not state sufficient facts to justify a recall process initiated in this instance against either board member. The court will find no probable cause to justify the furtherance of any recall activities and will instruct the applicant's attorney to create an order reflecting these findings.
Your Honor, can I speak briefly?
No, you may not.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor, I will do so.
All right. That concludes the court's review and hearing and statement of its ruling and its reasons. Court to recess.
Please rise.